Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here in studio with the host of Money Life and Crown CEO, Chuck Bentley. And in just a moment, we'll be introducing you to our guest today, Rusty Leonard. And Rusty is the founder and CEO of Stewardship Partners. And if you're a regular listener to Money Life, you know that Rusty's with us on just about a monthly basis. And we'd love to get his input. He's always very positive about what's happening in the economy. And I think today's program will be very helpful as well. And Chuck, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dave. And you?
I'm doing great.
I hope our listeners are doing well. It's an exciting program today. And, you know, we've been talking about the size of homes in America, and it's been increasing for the last 50 years. I call it the McMansion syndrome, where we've switched over our values to smaller families, larger houses. But that trend is actually changing right now. The first time in years, the National Association of Home Builders reported that the size of a home built in America actually has fallen for the first time. The average house built in 2009 was 2,480 square feet. That's 40 square feet less than in 2008. So we've decided to lop off the closet. One less closet in the homes being built in 2009. But there's actually some trends that I think our listeners need to be aware of. A Better Homes and Gardens survey in November showed that 36% of all people expected their next home to be smaller than their existing home. And analysts say that the recession has accelerated what they call a small house movement that's been growing for years, and that there's two other trends that are contributing to smaller houses that are being built. One is that more first-time home buyers are willing to sacrifice space in exchange for a lower price. So we're becoming more frugal, much more price conscious. And the second trend is that more senior buyers are wanting single-story homes that are generally smaller. Now, how does that impact you, our listener? I think you need to be aware that once that trend changes, the marketability of your home that is too big may begin to decrease. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the price is going to go down, but the number of people who actually want the McMansion is going to diminish, especially because the baby boomers are now moving into their senior stages where they don't want the big homes anymore. So be aware of that trend and make a wise decision about the home you currently live in and its future marketability.
Well, when we continue, we'll be joined by our expert on the economy, Rusty Leonard, and we'll get his latest economic outlook. If you have to step away from Money Life, you can always hear it online at crown.org. Well, this is Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
When it feels like talking to your young child about money just isn't enough, there's a fun, easy, and visual way you can show them how to honor God with their money. The ABC Learning Bank from Crown Financial Ministries. This popular tool goes beyond a traditional piggy bank. Created with three colorful compartments in the shape of letters, the ABC Learning Bank will give your child a fun, hands-on learning experience as they discover that A is for giving, B is for saving, and C is for spending. Imagine them applying that learning for a lifetime. The ABC Learning Bank is recommended for children ages 3 and older. To order an ABC Learning Bank for a child in your life, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. Again, the ABC Learning Bank is available by calling 1-800-722-1976 or visiting crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Rusty Leonard, CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council. Rusty, you are considered one of the more optimistic people that we have ever interviewed, and you called this market at the bottom. Welcome back to Money Life. It's been a year since that day.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad it's worked out as I hoped it would.
You know, this market has recovered now for almost a full year. Is it really improving, and how long do you think this is going to last?
Yeah, the market obviously has definitely improved, and the economy, more importantly, is now improving as well. And so stock market and financial markets usually improve well before the actual good news comes out of the economy, but now we're starting to see the good news coming out of the economy. And last week we had a series of good economic reports that I think really gave the marketplace and investors generally some good cheer. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing the stock market do well here in recent weeks.
Well, give me some idea of that good news. I mean, I talk to people all the time, every day, and they don't feel any of this good news, Rusty. I mean, it doesn't seem to be coming to Main Street. What are you looking at that gives you such hope for the future?
Well, one thing I would just like to emphasize with all of our friends that are listening is that generally you're going to get 10 times the frequency of bad news as good news. Just the nature of the news media and the way it works. And so, but there has been very good news, and people probably haven't heard about it. And some of the reasons for it not being reported is that it's technical in nature. For instance, productivity has grown very, very strongly, and that is basically a very strong thing for corporate profits. Whenever companies are more productive, that means that more is going to fall to their bottom line. And that also means that inflation is less of a concern because you don't have as much of an impact on inflation when productivity is running high. But the most important thing for a lot of your listeners is that productivity gains that are so significant, as they have been recently, are an indication of future strong employment trends. So even though the unemployment picture has been what people focused on, even while the rest of the economy has been starting to recover, even that will soon start to get better.
Well, what about people who are listening that their biggest concern is their retirement account? You know, therefore, the past 18 months, it was just looking for a safe place to park the money. Everybody was tired of losing. They went on a strong defensive effort to just protect what they had. Are you expecting returns in, say, retirement accounts to start improving?
Well, you know, they already have. A study was done recently, and I don't have the exact data, but showed that for people who continued to contribute to their retirement plans and didn't go to all cash, that they are basically a good percentage of those people, I think it was 60 or 70%, were back to their old highs, the high levels in their account. So part of that was the recovery in the markets, which has been so strong, and part of it has been their continued deposits into their accounts. So I think as you go across this country right now, because for those who at least didn't panic at the bottom, and, you know, we're able to stay with the program, so to speak, they're looking at a situation that is much, much brighter right now than it was just 1 year ago today when it seemed pretty disastrous.
Well, what's your outlook for the remainder of 2010? Is it going to be as good as it was in 2009?
It can't be that good because 2009 was just a tremendous year. But we could see double-digit returns on equity prices. In fact, we're already up quite nicely across the board right around the world in just the first couple, 3 months of the year. We're seeing some pretty good returns on equities. And it wouldn't surprise me if we ended the year, or at least somewhere during the course of the year, we ended up in a double-digit territory, you know, up 10 to 20%, somewhere in that range. It's just the way the math works, because corporate earnings have been so strong, and if interest rates can stay stable, there's no reason why stock prices can't move higher on the back of those stronger earnings. And you know, you could easily see a number that was in the 15 to 20% range for the S&P 500 having risen above the already strong returns that you saw in 2009 just because corporate earnings have been so strong.
From my chair, one of the areas of greatest pain is this continual downward pressure on home values, because people feel less wealthy. They feel very vulnerable when their number one asset in most homes, most of our listeners that would consider their number one asset, their home equity. And we're continuing to see housing values lag. When do you think that's going to turn around and people start to think, oh my goodness, you know, this is really going to affect me. I'm going to see something on the upside here that changes my personal outlook.
Well, there are regional influences, so it's kind of hard to make a sweeping statement, but generally speaking, it looks like the housing market has already bottomed. The bleeding has stopped. So that's a good sign for the housing market, but it still has several significant challenges ahead of it. One is the banking system is still in a recovery mode, and because housing purchases are, you know, closely related to getting a mortgage, you need the banks to be willing to make those mortgages in order to increase the demand for houses and see the price of houses increase. You also need employment to improve, and I think you're going to see that. As more people have jobs, they can qualify for the mortgages. And so I think you will see over the course of this year things to slowly begin to improve in the housing sector. And I think house prices will probably rebound faster than people expect at this moment. And that will solve a lot of problems. As those house prices recover, they're going to feel wealthier, and they're also not going to see their mortgages underwater anymore. And so it'll reduce the foreclosures, and a lot of other positive things could come from that. So there's a possibility that that could work out during the course of this year, that things will start moving in the right direction and people will feel a lot more comfortable about their housing situation.
So Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke comes out and says we're in a nascent recovery. I had to look up the meaning of that word, Rusty, and what it means is the beginning, you know, the birthing of a recovery. But it seems like it's going to take a lot longer than some dramatic improvement this year, because these housing values are where I think much of the pain is. So many people that are listening right now are on the verge of being underwater. They're on the verge of foreclosure, and they're saying this can't come quick enough. What does a nascent recovery mean to you in terms of a real timetable?
Well, it's just first of all, it is very sad that some people will still, unfortunately, you know, lose their homes even as the recovery begins, even as it's in this beginning section of the recovery. There's still going to be people who are going to lose their homes and feel very bad about that. But what it does mean is that fewer and fewer will be losing their homes. It means that the banks will start to loosen up on what they're doing, because they're going to see things getting better rather than getting worse. And it means that, like I said, people's retirement plans are pretty much getting back a lot of what they lost. And as the housing values start to kick in, everybody's going to start to feel more optimistic. And so much about any economy is dependent upon the consumers and the attitudes and the optimism that's in the system. And as we start to build some of that optimism back in, I think that's a very, very positive force for employment growth and housing values and things of that nature. Now, it's still, there's a lot of oversupply of houses. It's going to be a slower recovery in the housing sector than just about every other sector of the economy. But nevertheless, getting it on the right path, moving it in the right direction finally, is a real strong step.
Well, Rusty, we got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about this staggering unemployment crisis and what you think the outlook is for future jobs. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with more from Rusty Leonard.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Rusty Leonard. Rusty, you're here typically once a month giving us an outlook on the macro economy and some of the aspects of it that we can expect to change this year. And you've proven yourself to be very capable at making estimates of what's going to happen. And I'm just reflecting back to where we were a year ago, and remind our listeners what it looked like a year ago and how much has changed in regard to the economy.
Well, yeah, a year ago, Chuck, it was a disaster unfolding. People had lost all hope. They were selling all their stocks and bonds and worrying that the future of capitalism itself might be at the end of the rope, and that their whole world was going to be turned upside down. But I think probably back at that time I said capitalism is stronger than everybody realizes, and that its recuperative powers are more impressive than people were willing to believe at that point in time. And I guess we've seen that work out, and praise the Lord that that's the case, because it's been a big blessing that it's been as quick a recovery as it has been in the stock market and in people's portfolios. And hopefully that housing market will kick into gear before too long, too.
Well, I'm going to speak for our listeners, because so many of them feel like we've been through an economic earthquake. I can't tell you how many emails I received that said Larry was right, his timing was off, but he was right, we're in an economic earthquake. But now what they're expecting are the aftershocks. They're thinking, when is the next shoe going to fall? And it seems like this employment picture is that shoe, where it just keeps getting worse. In fact, at 9.7%, that's terrible numbers. You know, we had a U.S. senator say recently we only lost 36,000 jobs in this country today. That's good news. That's not good news to the people who are listening. When do you think that employment issues are going to be resolved, because it doesn't seem like this government stimulus plan is actually creating any meaningful jobs.
Well, it's hard to disagree with the failure of the stimulus plan. I mean, that's and that was predicted widely, and it's coming to pass. But it does produce some jobs, but they're just not the kind of jobs that the economy needs to sustain itself. However, on the employment picture more generally, we peaked out in October at a 10.1% unemployment rate. We're now down to 9.7. And I almost guarantee you that when we talk next month, we'll be talking about our first positive month in employment going forward. So there's a very strong likelihood that we're going to now start to see the economy add jobs.
You mean job growth, no more job loss?
That's right. Yeah, I'm almost certain you're going to see good job growth going forward. There would have to be something that would happen to throw the economy off course at this stage of the game, because that nascent recovery that we're talking about is really kicking in, and all the indicators that we look at about future job growth are all very positive at this point in time.
All right, and we want to know where those are. So when you get that information, you let us know. We'll pass that on to our listeners.
Sure.
But I read that a Federal Reserve official recently said that policymakers need to redefine full employment in this country. So basically they want to move it up from the historic number, which was 4.5%, up to about 5.25%. Isn't that bad news?
It is on the margin, but I think for the average person, it'll be something that they'll never even, you know, come in contact with to any great degree, and it is something that will be revised either higher or lower due to different circumstances at a later date. So it's not the thing you want to hear. You obviously want to hear a different type of number, but it's not. That's not going to be a backbreaking type of number for our economy overall. It's just saying that it's going to take a longer time for us to get out of the deep hole that we dug ourselves in 2008, and that's certainly true. But again, the movement, the directional movement, will be from 9.7 down towards that 5.25, and that's good news for many of the people listening today.
Well, one of the things that I believe is going to be an aftershock, and that's the coming inflationary problem that it seems like we cannot avoid, because there's been so much money pumped into the system. And Rusty, you may have heard me say in past programs, I've ascribed to the economic philosophy that this has been nothing but a sugar high, that we've pumped money into the system, and at some point that money is going to have to be paid back at a higher interest rate, and that's when the real aftershock is going to hit. Do you see it that way? And if so, when do you think that whiplash from high interest rates is actually going to hit?
Well, there's a couple of points here. On the money growth, the money supply growth, that's very true that we've had extremely rapid money supply growth, but that's only half the story. The other half of the story is what is known as the velocity of money. And if the velocity of money is declining dramatically, as it has, and it's staying low, then we can have very high money supply growth without creating inflation. So that's what you have right now. And the Federal Reserve is very wise, and they're on to that. And oftentimes in the press, people report only the half the story. So you need to know the full story. You need to know about velocity of money, highly economic technical term. But we really don't have to worry too much about that at this point in time. Now, we do have to worry about the debt. Now, the debt is a big problem for us longer term, and that could create inflation and all kinds of other problems for this nation, as well as the potential weakening of the dollar and things of that nature.
Well, speaking of that debt, that's another one of those major potholes, as you would call it, or I would call it a potential aftershock, because I think the spending is out of control in Washington. I think most of our listeners think it's out of control. Are there any signs that they're going to retreat and come to their senses? You know, when are they going to make wise decisions to live within their means?
They haven't gotten the message fully yet. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. The American public is out there saying it as loudly and as clearly as possible, and I would encourage all of our listeners to continuously berate your public officials to get this under control. It is the key determinant as to whether or not we take this nascent recovery and make it into something more long-lasting and permanent and avoid complete calamity. Because if we continue down the path of overspending as is planned at the moment, the probability is in several years out that we're going to have a dramatic economic problems with inflation and devaluation of the currency and things of that nature. And I'd like to make one point real quickly, that a lot of people say this is a problem for our grandchildren and we shouldn't leave this to our grandchildren. I got news for you. It's a problem for you. It's not going to wait to get to your grandchildren. If we don't get that part of the equation corrected, you will have a problem in your lifetime, not necessarily in your grandchildren's lifetime.
Well, Rusty, I could not agree with you more. And on that issue, I would say that we have to look to the Lord, ask for his favor on this country, and continue to press our public officials to simply agree that this is not a left or right issue, it's a right or wrong issue. And our standard for what is right is written in the scripture, the borrower is servant to the lender, and we don't want to be a servant to a lender. So thank you for joining us, Rusty. Always appreciate having you on the program.
Thank you.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll take a break and be right back.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area, or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, in this last segment, let's talk about a couple of important things. First of all, we have an event tomorrow night for our listeners who live in the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area.
Well, we're going to be in Raleigh for our God Provides film tour. It's a family-friendly event, and I'm very much looking forward to being with all of our listeners. We're going to show two short films in the God Provides series. You'll get to see Abraham and Isaac, as well as The Widow and the Oil, and both of these films are appropriate for all ages. So bring the whole family. There's no charge for the event. I'll be there live and teaching. We'll be hosted by Providence Baptist Church. We're going to start at 7 p.m. We'll be out of there on time at 8:30 so you can get home and get the kids in bed. But don't miss it. It's a great opportunity for us to get to know each other and really focus on the Lord. We're going to have an interactive session where you can share some of your testimony and response to how these films impact your heart, and I hope you'll make plans to be there.
Well, there's no charge for this event, but we would like to know you're coming, and you can sign up by going to crown.org/register, and all the information about the event is available there. Again, that's crown.org/register.
Just about a week ago, I received an incredibly kind and encouraging email from one of our faithful listeners who said they'd been through a very hard time financially, but as she was listening to the program about all the people that are being reached, whether it be a single mom or a widow or a young couple or even people on the other side of the world, it hit her that her gift to this ministry was actually making a difference all over the world. And that is so very true to all of you who are a part of this ministry and consider yourself a faithful steward and you want to see other people become faithful stewards. You are making a difference, not only in America, but all around the world. In fact, the Lord has given me an opportunity to share this message to a very large audience in Brazil on Easter Sunday. I can't wait for that. But I would like to remind you that we are only here because of your generosity, and it has been a difficult year. 2010 has started off very slow in terms of donations, and it continues to be slow, and we genuinely need your help, and we need your help now. And for a generous gift of any amount right now, if God's putting on your heart to help us, I'd like you to respond today. We want to send you a gift, the Lifted Up DVD and Companion Study Guide. It's our way of saying thank you for helping us this month. It'll also help you spread God's love during this Easter season, and your gift will allow us to continue in ministry not only to you and your family, but to other families around the world. So to receive Lifted Up, will you make a gift today? You can do that online at crown.org, or you can call 1-800-722-1976. But I need to hear from you, and I so appreciate your love and support of this outreach.
Well, to receive your copy of Lifted Up and the Companion Study Guide, go to our website, crown.org, and click on the Donate Online button. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-722-1976. It's 1-800-722-1976. Well, for Chuck and the entire staff, thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.